You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Azania Mosaka
on 702.
So as South Africa observes Youth Month, the 45th commemoration of Youth Day is happening tomorrow, midweek. We had youth unemployment rates being announced earlier on in the month. And it is one of the highest in the world. And it's actually nothing to celebrate. There's very little to celebrate about what is going on and the realities that confront young people in this country at this point. This month started with Stats SA's quarterly labor force stats, and it showed that the expanded definition of youth unemployment is 74.7%. And if we're to be conservative, we'd say that of every 10 young people, seven are unemployed. And this is the highest unemployment rate recorded since the start of this quarterly labor force survey or stats since 2008. It absolutely has to give us sleepless nights. It has to keep us awake at night. Our politicians have to, when you think of these figures, you would imagine that this would be the first thing, the first issue that they try and resolve. But it doesn't seem as though we're working with the urgency we need to when it comes to changing this picture. And many young South Africans are struggling with unemployment. There's a difficulty of finding sustainable livelihoods. They can't fully exercise their rights as citizens as a result. Bad politics, bad governance, failed economic policies. So many issues have exacerbated this long-standing societal problem. And it has diminished young people's abilities to support themselves and their families. And the prerequisites of full adulthood are simply unattainable. And these young people can't take their place as fully fledged members of society. So to help us understand this particular what is happening within this age group, 15 to 24, we have Ariane Delanoy. She is a chief researcher at the Southern Africa Labour and Development Research Unit at UCT, talking to us about jobless youth in this country. We have all sorts of plans, all sorts of initiatives. You know, when you think of the various announcements that have been made, that we have a number of them, and yet there's little to show for these plans. Ariane, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Lovely to have you on the show.
Good afternoon. Very nice to be here.
This is a very worrying stat. I mean, 74%, if we look at the expanded definition of unemployment when it comes to young people. You've been studying this particular group or part of our demography for a number of years. What sparked your interest in what is happening with this age group?
I think what really sparked my interest was that so many of these young people, when we look at the statistics around young people, very often they are very negative and alarming. As you just said in your introduction, it is about young people who leave school early, who don't have sufficient levels of skills to find easy entrance into the labor market. We have these incredibly mind-blowingly high levels of youth unemployment, and yet when we work with young people on the ground, we hear so many high aspirations and so much willingness to try and do something about the situation and move themselves forward. But exactly as you pointed out, it seems that it is just so difficult for young people and interventions and policymakers to find one another to make this work.
Mm. And there's a particular indicator of, as far as the labor market is concerned, because we are seeing an increase as well in this particular group with this quarterly labor survey compared to last year.
We're seeing an increase in discouragement among young people, and we've been seeing that increase for quite a couple of years, most probably because it is so difficult for young people to really find entry into the labor market or to hold on to a job for longer or to move from one job to the next. So we see when we work with young people and when we look at the larger scale statistics that a lot of young people churn through these different states. They look for a job, they give up looking for a job because the feedback is either non-existent or negative. Mm. They look for a job, they find a short-term job, and then they go back to not knowing what to do next. And so this constant churn in the searching for a way forward is very discouraging for young people. The group of NEET youth that you mentioned, NEET refers to young people who are not in education, employment, and training. It's a slightly different way of trying to look at the unemployment question, in that it actually puts the emphasis on the fact that not all young people, or rather it helps us think about young people as more than just unemployed. There are in that group also numbers of young people who are out of the schooling system and who urgently would like to find a job so that they can help alleviate poverty. But actually, when we talk to them, what they would really like to do is find a way back into the education system. So looking at NEET rather than unemployed youth gives us a sense of the many different challenges that young people face and the fact that there may be different pathways for them. It isn't only about trying to find a job for a young person. Mm-hmm. It is about trying to find a pathway for a young person going forward.
Yes, because this, you know, this notion of waithood, we talked a little bit about it on the show yesterday. I mean, it's one of the things that really sank my heart, this place where you're really unable to realize your potential, just completely waiting, whether on education, whether on employment, or whether on training, just for something to kind of give a sense of that time being utilized effectively in your youth seems to be burdening Africa's young people and here in South Africa.
Absolutely, and it is, as you say, it is incredibly hard for young people to find themselves in that situation, because no one aspires to that place in life. No one aspires to feel stuck. All the young people we talk to speak about wanting to move their lives forward and become responsible, take care of their children, help take care of communities. It's very rarely that you would hear someone say they want to just wait. And in reality, that is where so many young people find themselves sitting. The danger, I think, with the term waithood is, however, that it implies some form of passivity, that, you know, young people are just waiting, but we know that that is not really the case, that the majority of them want to look for work, want to look for an entry back into the education system, but can't, and want to move out of that situation. So there's a lot of energy being used, but kind of to keep moving on the same spot, rather than finding a way forward into adulthood, or at least what people would think of as adulthood.
Yes, yes. What then does it make them, render them vulnerable to?
So we see that young people, when we look at the large-scale national surveys that exist on this, we see that young people who are in this state of not in education, employment, or training, the longer they stay in that position, the higher they are at risk of remaining in that position, not finding work, or at least not finding any kind of stable work, and getting trapped in income poverty, because obviously if there is no work and there is no way to move forward, then poverty deepens as well.
If we were to look at skills, the skills that we need to meet the needs of young people, and the dividends or the value that we get, the return on investment that we get out of our education system, it doesn't seem, is it safe to say that we're not getting the value that we would expect to get, and that would prevent these sorts of scenarios?
I think the education system could definitely do more to prevent young people leaving the system with the low levels of skills that we see at the moment. Mm-hmm. There is improvement, but it is very slow. And what the latest research shows is that we may have lost a lot of the slow progress that was being made because of COVID and the lockdown. So there is definitely a lot more work that can be done to support young people in their learning and to ensure that they leave the schooling system knowing what their possibilities are. There is the idea of, and I suppose the package of learning around career development within the education system, but we see so many young people either leaving in the course of grade 10 and 11 before completing matric, or staying the course but not really knowing what subjects they should have chosen to write their matric in a way that it would allow them to study further for what they would want to study further. So a lot of young people are kind of trying to figure this out as they go and feel very unguided and unsupported in their trajectory. Mm. And then when they leave the schooling system, it feels like it is almost entirely impossible for them to find information about how best to move forward.
Hmm. Let's go to Jane, who's called us from Foys. Good afternoon, Jane.
Hello.
Yes, afternoon. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My comment is, we haven't addressed what the FITAs can offer.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is with the education FITA. Trying to get any money out of them for development is a terrible, terrible problem. However, they do have the funds. They work within their sector. They have contact with businesses. They have good access to businesses where internships can happen. I think the FITA should be tasked with every FITA and every sector producing some sort of a youth development program on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that they have the funds. It's not a question. The money, they are awash with funds, the FITA.
Hmm.
And they are doing nothing with the money except building fancy offices and that sort of thing. It's actually criminal. We've got a state-of-the-art system just not being used.
Mm. Jane, thank you for raising that, because Ariane, what it also brings up is the fact that we have numerous programs. We've got a president announcing jobs that would be created, initiatives. Mm-hmm. We have the Youth Employment Service, the YES initiative, a number of them. As Jane says, we even have CETAs. What? Mm-hmm. Why is there a gap then? Why is there a gap?
Well, I think one of the big problems is that many of these interventions are run by different departments and institutions within government, and then also at different levels of governance. There's national, provincial, local, and there has been up until now a lack of collaboration across these different initiatives, and so often there may be cases of duplication of efforts. And not really knowing what one is doing compared to the other. And in the end, it becomes all, as Jane says, there is the resources are going into different areas, but we don't know whether they're being used or what they're being used for.
Mm.
And then from the perspective of a young person, it becomes incredibly difficult to know which one of these interventions is actually going to be able to help them. So a bigger coordination across initiatives, departments, institutes, and clarification to young people as to what it is these different initiatives can do would go a long way, at least in making young people feel more supported and in using resources much more efficiently.
I mean, I keep thinking about the words you used earlier on to say that, you know, there is a lot of energy being expanded when you talked about Waitoto, a lot of energy being expanded, but while still standing in the same place, even though there are all these initiatives and programs around. The work that you're doing, is the government aware of the findings, of your findings in the feedback that you are getting from young people?
We've worked quite hard to try and bring the messages and the findings of the research into national and provincial policy environment. And so, yes, government is aware of this. We work quite closely at the moment with the presidential youth employment intervention and what the president announced in his newsletter as well, the National Pathway Management Network, all of which is a fairly unprecedented coming together, actually, of departments and different partners to make it easier for young people to get onto pathways and for different departments and initiatives to start to work together. So there is a definite awareness and a definite drive for change and willingness for change within the presidential environment that hopefully will see some changes in the next couple of years. The problem, of course, is that at the moment one would hope for immediate, quick results and outcomes. And much of this is about changing the way of working that departments and systems and different stakeholders across society have been used to. And the big call now is really to stick our heads together and work for young people and really think from the perspective of that young person that needs to find his or her way into something different from what they are and where they are now.
Is there a difference in the gender as far as the numbers, as far as what you see reflected in the research?
So what we see when we look at young people who are not in education, employment and training is that there is always a slightly higher proportion of young women who are in that need situation, and that there is also a higher proportion of young women who are what we refer to as inactive. So they are out of the labor market, they're not working, they're not at school, and they're also not looking for work. Often that is the case because they are taking on a care responsibility within the family, whether that is for the children or other family members. It's difficult to say from the data that we have, but so definitely there is a care burden on young women that makes it more difficult for them to move out of that position, and it also makes them more vulnerable to longer-term unemployment and higher levels of poverty.
And we find this across the various classes, and as expected, it would be more prevalent, of course, in working classes in South Africa.
It is more prevalent among working classes in South Africa. It is also where some of our data is a little bit fall short, in that we know that there is also a group of young people who is not in education, employment and training because they can afford not to be in education, employment and training, and they would choose to take a gap year, for instance. Whereas we can assume that among especially young women from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, this need to take care of others in their family is a very real need, so that then others can actually go out and look for work or be at work.
Really, it's the sort of thing that would, it really gives me sleepless nights, you know, having young people in the home, just knowing the state of the country, you look to the future, and these figures really give sleepless nights about what kind of future this could represent. Mm-hmm. So we have to do more. Thank you so much, Ariane. Thank you for joining us and sharing some of the insights in the work that you're doing.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
That is Ariane Delanoy, Associate Professor at the Southern Africa Labour and Development Research Unit, SALDRU, which is within UCT. And we were talking about jobless youth in this country, considering all the structures that we have in place, but it's simply not reaching them. The words she used, unguided and unsupported, that's how many of our youth feel as they move between being hopeless about finding employment, training, and getting back into the education system.